Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
There's the start, and Bolt got a good one, and Gay's right with him, and so's Asafa Powell. Bailey's there, too. But here's Bolt. Bolt charging to the front. Gay's coming, but can't catch him. Usain Bolt, look at the time. 9.58, world record.
All right, so here's a question I never thought that I would ask, and would have never thought to ask, had I not seen it posed in the Wall Street Journal this week. How would Usain Bolt match up against your house cat or the rest of the animal kingdom? Bolt, in case you don't know, is the Jamaican sprinter who is now officially the world's fastest human after breaking two world records last week. The op-ed in Monday's Journal is called Usain Bolt versus the House Cat by Cameron Strocker, who I know is publisher of the New York Law Review, but who is also writing a book about the 1970s and the running boom. Hi, Cam. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi. Thanks, Brian.
You compare Usain Bolt to lions, gazelles, Siberian huskies, Arabian horses, house cats, and cheetahs that can accelerate faster than Ferraris. And we'll get into some of those specifics. But what made you ask the question at all about how different species run?
Well, you know, there's been so much talk about how fast Bolt is and how he really shattered the record. He completely obliterated the record. Of course, the obliteration was, you know, by a tenth of a second, which in sprinting time seems phenomenal. But, you know, if you think about it objectively, a tenth of a second is really not that fast. It's less, like a blink of an eye. And I just started thinking, how fast is he really? I mean, what happen if he ran against my dog? Who would win?
So, for example, you compare the human record and the horse record for a 200-meter run. Who's faster?
The horse is almost twice as fast as Bolt is.
And for the 100 meters, Bolt reaches 30 miles an hour, which I never thought of in those terms until I saw your article. It's really quite extraordinary to consider a person running 30 miles an hour, even for that short a time. But the cheetah can run it at 70 miles an hour, and you say the ordinary house cat can also do it at 30. So what do we learn from that, other than just the curiosity factor?
I guess we're not evolutionarily adapted to be fast. Speed is not what we have evolved for.
Running fast is an evolutionary adaptation.
That's true.
Was it just for chasing prey or getting away from predators?
It seems to be. I mean, if you think about why animals run, we don't really know animals that run purely for pleasure, although, you know, certainly you can see your cat jumping around the room and hopping over couches and stuff. But it would be funny to imagine a dog deciding it was just going to go out for a jog for the heck of it. And yet humans, we do that. For most animals, it's something they do to eat or avoid being eaten.
And you wrote that humans would only be about the 30th fastest creatures for the 200-meter sprint, but that very few animals could beat the fastest humans in a marathon, which is about 26 miles. Why would that be?
Well, a couple reasons have been advanced. I mean, one is that we are actually evolutionarily better adapted to run longer distances. We are mostly hairless. We sweat well. We are efficient exhalers of heat. We have narrow waists and relatively large butt muscles, springy tendons, all sorts of things which allow us to run for a long distance with a relative ease and not get overheated too quickly.
And listeners, I don't know if you have any questions about running and the animal kingdom, but if you do, you can call in right now for Cameron Strocker at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Any evolutionary biologists happen to be listening right now who want to talk about why some animals have evolved to be faster than others or faster over particular distances than others, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. What would be the evolutionary reason for developing the ability to run relatively fast at very long distances like 26 miles?
Well, there is a Harvard anthropologist who has basically proposed that long-distance hunting was the way that humans caught their prey in the early days, before they even had weapons. Supposedly, meat was introduced into the human diet about 2 million years ago, whereas you don't see weapons in human sites until about 50,000 years ago. So there's this theory that we simply would run other animals down. You know, they might be able to sprint away from us, but we could keep going and going and going, and eventually they would stop and collapse, and then we could catch them and eat them.
And your article ends by saying, "Man is the only animal that runs simply to do it. Our large brains can convince our frail bodies to keep moving regardless of cost. We may not be the fastest animals, but we can run ourselves into the ground for sport, exhausting our food supply and making ourselves susceptible to disease, injury, and death. That's a feat no pronghorn can touch." That's a pretty dour view of human running.
Especially coming from a runner himself, I guess. Yeah, I the book that I'm writing now starts with Alberto Salazar at the Falmouth Road Race in 1978 in a 7 mile race in the heat on the beach against Bill Rogers. He literally ran himself almost to death. At the end of the race, his body temperature was 107 degrees, and they had to stick him in a tub of ice, and they actually called a priest in to give him last rites because they thought he was on his way out.
And so what is the larger context here for you? How does this tie into the book you're writing about the popularity of running in the 1970s? Does it?
Well, I think what I'm thinking about are all these questions about why we run. Why do we run? Why do we seem to be the only animal who does it, you know, really for the pure pleasure of it? I mean, I know I paint a grim picture of it at the very end there, but I love running. I mean, I was out last night in Central Park and I get a real, you know, a real thrill from doing it. And why is that? What is it about us and our makeups, our biochemistry that make us in love with the sport?
Right. Well, it's all kinds of things, isn't it, for people? I mean, I also run. And maybe for people like you and me, one who publishes a law review, another who, you know, hosts a radio show where we're probably furrowing our brows and dealing with a lot of detailed material for a lot of the day, it's good for me in the late afternoon to go out and just get it all out and just use my body. For other people, maybe it's a conscious decision to try to keep healthy that way because they've made an intellectual choice that this is, the path to long life.
Yeah. It would be interesting, and I don't know the answer, to learn when man started running purely for pleasure, because it's hard to imagine cavemen who spent the whole day trying to get food just deciding to go out for a jog at some point randomly. But, you know, at some point in our human history, we did start running for the pure enjoyment of it.
Jill in West Caldwell, you have an animal who runs for pleasure?
Yeah, I have a retired greyhound, and this is my second one. And both of them have gone out in the backyard, and just, you can tell just for the pure joy of it, she goes out and she does a couple of laps around the backyard.
Huh.
And then she'll stop and she'll run around in the opposite way for a couple of laps to, like, get unwound. And she just loves it.
That's great. Yeah, the exception that proves the rule. Yeah. And I guess when you let a dog loose and a dog run, you know, especially if it's a dog that's been cooped up in a Manhattan apartment all day or something like that, they're going
to
go.
Yeah. You have to ask yourself, though, are they running for pleasure or are they playing? Is their running part of their playing, which I think – you know, at least certainly with cats, with my dogs, they'll go out in the backyard and run around too. But they're playing. They won't just go out on the street and, you know, take off for a 1 mile jog.
Mike in Inwood has a historical human versus animal story, right?
Yeah. I remember when I was young reading that Jesse Owens, after his Olympic win, in order to earn some money, would run exhibitions at state fairs and other places where he would race against a horse, a jockey on a horse or a rider on a horse for a distance. I think it was like 40 yards or something like that, and he was consistently able to beat the horse and rider. Also, there was an article recently in, I think, Scientific American news section about a group, a tribe or ethnic group in Mexico that has a consistent hunting strategy of Inwood Park right now, of outrunning deer and able to to outdistance them until they are too exhausted to run anymore, and then they're able to kill the deer.
Yeah, I think that book is Born to Run, actually. A good book about this. That's right. This indigenous Mexican tribe.
Yeah, we just had the author recently.
Ah, interesting. Yeah, and that's exactly right. They outrun their prey.
And how humiliating it probably was for Jesse Owens, an Olympic level runner, to have to make money doing this kind of stunt, outrunning a horse with a rider.
Yeah, I guess he thought of the idea before I did. But the interesting thing about that is, you know, different animals also accelerate at different speeds. I mean, that horse would have creamed Jesse Owens at 200 meters and probably would have beaten him at 100 meters, although some horses are obviously better sprinter than other horses. The fastest sprinting horse is the quarter horse. I'm not sure who Jesse Owens was racing against at 40 meters. A cheetah, as you pointed out, can literally go from 0 to 60 miles per hour in about 3.5 seconds, and it strides at 25 feet a stride. So, you know, that's an animal that gets out of the blocks really quickly. A horse is not as quick as a cheetah out of the blocks.
We have 20 seconds. Curtis in Hackensack wants to know: Bolt broke the record for humans, and humans are getting faster. Are animals also evolving to get faster?
Well, man affects the evolution of animals. I mean, greyhounds and horses are good examples of animals that have gotten faster because man breeds them to be faster. I suppose we could probably breed ourselves to be faster, but that raises all kinds of scary, other scary thoughts.
Cameron Strocker publishes the New York Law Journal in real life, and he has the Wall Street Journal op-ed on Monday, Usain Bolt versus the house cat. Really interesting. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Lisa Allison, Jody Avergon, Paige Coward, and Kira Feldman produced this program with Annie Schreffler, our Uncommon Economics editor. We had intern help today from Neil Makija. Our senior producer is Megan Ryan. Debbie Fountain at the audio controls.